It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
So dreamy, oh fantasy, free me, so you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under sedation. Jump to the left. Put your hands on your hips.
The Time Walk from the Rocky Horror Show. Joining us on the line now is musician, singer, songwriter Martin Fitzgibbon. He was introduced to drumming at the age of 8 and became the drummer of the original production of the Rocky Horror Show, which premiered in London with Tim Curry and Richard O'Brien. His book, Behind the Curtain, My Life and Rocky Horror, reveals his closely guarded secrets and insights into how the show and its participants became an overnight success and created a cultural phenomenon that 50 years later still reverberates around the world. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Yeah, hi, Hannah. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
That song always makes me smile because I have a kind of vision of people across the nation in their kitchens boogieing away, hands on their hips and
oh, definitely. It's amazing the effect that the musical had both at the time and, as I said in the introduction, still has now. I mean, it's unlike any other musical, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And by coincidence today, either by good design from yourselves and your production team, is actually the 51st, I can't say it, the 51st anniversary of the Rocky Horror Show. It began today at the Royal Court Theatre on the 19th of June in 1973. That's incredible.
Amazing. Yeah, that really is amazing. So take us back then. How did you get involved?
Well, I got involved because I knew the musical director, a guy called Richard Hartley, who I'd worked with over a number of years. Richard and I had some kind of joint jobs we were doing, mostly in the studio, a little bit of live work, but mostly in the studio. And he rang me up at home one day in April 1973, which is hugely unusual for me to remember a telephone call of that length of time ago. But he rang me and he said, I've got this musical coming up and I need a drummer who can play quietly. And you're the only guy I know who can do that. And I'm sure there are a number of people, particularly my ex-neighbors, I guess, when I was a kid learning to play, who would think the idea of a quiet drummer is a bit of an oxymoron. But yeah, so he rang me up and he said, I've got this musical. It's at the Royal Court Theatre. And he then kind of tempered a little bit of my imagination by saying it's not in the main auditorium. It's in this small room upstairs, hence why he needed somebody who could play quietly, because we were in a room with 63 people. The audience consisted of 63 people. So, you know, you had to play really quietly so that we didn't blow them out of their seats.
Amazing. So tell us about the people involved then, because as you say, hugely successful now, but not so well known at the time.
Yeah, I mean, completely unknown at the time, and a kind of series of happy coincidences, really. One of which was that Richard O'Brien, who of course was the writer and performed in the show and in the film. Richard had been playing in Jesus Christ Superstar, and he'd been given the role of Herod, which in typical Richard fashion, he decided he would play in the style of Elvis, which I personally think is a great idea. But unfortunately, somebody who shall remain unknown decided it wasn't a very good idea, and he got the sack. So having got the sack from Jesus Christ Superstar, he thought, well, you know, what am I going to do now? So he went home and he sat down and he started to write, or finish off writing, really, because he'd had a kind of rough idea of some of the things he wanted to do and say, and started to write the Rocky Horror Show. Had that not happened, who knows, it may not have been, you know, may never have taken place. And I'm a firm believer that timing is important to any kind of venture, really. And either again by sheer luck, or you know, the planets were aligned, and that was one of the coincidences that made it a success. The other one was Richard knew Tim Curry, and Tim was free to do this show as well, and had Tim not played the part of Frankenfurter, then again, who knows, it may not have been as successful as it is, because he was just fantastic. I don't think anybody could have played that role better than he did.
No, absolutely. And what I find amazing is in recent years, there's been a lot of hoo-ha with regards to people kind of causing a scene in theatres, and people getting very offended and upset about people singing and joining in and things like that. And people saying, no, when you go to the theatre, you need to just, you know, sit still and enjoy the show. But of course, yeah. Rocky Horror is totally different to any other normal show that you're supposed to sit there quietly. Everyone gets really involved. Do you know how that happened? Why that happened?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen during my time, but it initiated in America. And I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Fame as well. There's a scene in the movie Fame, Alan Parker film, where the audience there are participating. And that, I think, was the first time that UK audiences had been aware of that.
Right.
And they started aping that. And it is, in the nicest possible way, it is a bit like a pantomime these days, where people call back to the stage and you get all kinds of bits of toast thrown at you if you're in the audience, and water pistols. So I think you need to go prepared, probably with an umbrella and something else, to the show these days. But you know, the whole thing about that, it's strange to me because that's not how I remember it. That's not how I remember its beginnings. But
yeah,
it's people having fun, you know.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with people having fun and going out and having a laugh. I mean, I get emails and occasionally have conversations with people all around the world who say, look, you know, my friends and I, we all got dressed up as the different characters and we went on the underground or we went on the bus all dressed up. And, you know, everybody was looking and laughing and knowing what we were going to and going to do. So, yeah, it's very different, but it's helped, I'm sure, to keep it going. You know, who knows? Had it not been for that, would it still be running 51 years later? I don't know.
I mean, there's a real community, isn't there, around the world of super fans of the show. I mean, people travel around the world to see as many different shows as they can. You know, it's one of those shows that if you love it and film as well, you know, keep watching the film and keep wanting to go and see the show all around the world, which is, again, it seems quite unique to me.
Yes, I mean, that was really one of the reasons that prompted me to write the book was because I was getting in touch with people literally all around the world who, I use the word fanatics in the nicest possible sense, but they wanted to know absolutely every tiny detail that there was to know. And there is this whole community, you know, there are podcasts and radio stations and lots of websites and stuff that, people are, again, I don't mean disrespectfully, slightly obsessed with knowing whatever it is that you are able to share with them that they don't already know, which is great, you know, and that's fun. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I was happy with that.
Yeah. So go on, share something with us then that we might not know.
Where are we? I'll try and think of something clean that we can use on an afternoon. Sure. Well, I can tell something against myself, which is that we had three first night parties. So I played at three different venues with the Rocky Horror Show, and we had three individual first night parties. The second one of which was at a place called the Classic Cinema in the King's Road in Chelsea. We had an after show party to celebrate. And there were lots and lots of people there, lots of famous faces there. And we were all kind of mingling around. And somebody said to me, did you know that Tennessee Williams is here tonight? And I said in complete ignorance, blimey, no, I thought he was dead. And this little voice behind me sort of said, no, I'm not. And and indeed, it was Tennessee Williams himself. So I was mortified, to be honest.
Yeah,
and I beat myself up for years and years and years. But now I kind of think, well, it's a bit of a badge of honor in a way that you know, I managed to personally insult one of America's great playwrights.
Yes, and it's of course a great story. At the time, you're mortified, but now it's a brilliant
story. Yeah.
Fantastic. So I'm guessing it was great fun writing this book, reminiscing and remembering all the good and fun times.
It was, yeah. Overall, it was good fun. I mean, I remember the show with huge fondness and everybody that was involved. There was a great, great kind of company camaraderie that was there. And we used to hang out a little bit when we weren't doing the show, which was kind of nice as well. And so remembering those times and a couple of people who are sadly no longer with us, I think of them fondly as well. I intermingled the bits of the show with bits of my life as well. And that was because, you know, you get to a certain age, like most people, and things happen to you in your life. You lose people and you have broken relationships and things like that. So that was quite cathartic, actually, managing to put that down on paper and go through that.
Yeah.
But I did say in the book that ultimately I grinned far more than I grimaced when I remembered just reflecting on things of years ago. So yeah. It was a good thing. Yeah, and it was a fun thing to do. I'm pleased I did it.
Lovely. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it is called Behind the Curtain, My Life and Rocky Horror. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Martin Fitzgibbon, who we've been chatting with today. Martin, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure, Hannah. Thank you.
And Hot Patootie from the Rocky Horror Show.